Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 8 through 13. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you, you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Our second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So ends our second lesson.
We'll read responsively Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot slip. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, the Lord watches over you. The sun will not harm you by day. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going. Amen. What a promise. What a promise. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to come forward for a children's sermon? Come on up here. We got something to show you and you can participate in. Come on up, Angelica. Irma, you want to come too? Yeah. There we go. Come up, Kens. All right. We got a lot of kids here today. Excellent. All right, you ever seen one of these? No. No? It's called a compass.
Oh, yeah.
No, I thought a compass was something you drew circles with.
No.
No? That's a different kind of compass. Okay. So anyway, you can see that it's got a red end and a white end. And when I turn it around, that's pretty neat. What happens?
It keeps on spinning.
It keeps on spinning. And the red one always points that way, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Always points that way. Let's try a different one here. Okay. So that red one always points that way. That's called north, that direction right there. So I can spin this any way I want as long as I hold it level. And that'll keep on pointing north. What could we use that for? What do you think?
Make sure we're not going to get lost.
Make sure we're not going to get lost. Absolutely. When I was in the Army, we would use these out in the woods. And there's no buildings, no houses, no roads, no nothing, just out in the woods. And we had a map and a compass, and we figured out where we were, and we followed it. Yes, we can use it for that. Absolutely. It'll always show us north. It always points that way. It's sort of like if we're always following God. Because we want to follow him, right? Yeah. There's other people trying to tell us other things, but we always have to follow God. So what we're going to do is we're going to make two lines here. You could be in front of one line. Some of you can line up behind Estevan here, and some line up behind Angelica. You're going to face that way. All righty? So some of you line up over here behind him. We're going to follow the leader is what we're going to do. Okay, you want to get over here and make the lines even? And then we're all going to take like three steps back. We're going to get back towards the wall here. Come on back. There we go. There we go. Okay, so you're going to follow the leader. Those of you over there are going to follow Angelica, and those over here are going to follow Estevan. And what they're going to do is they're going to follow the compass, okay? The red, you're going to follow the red arrow. So you can keep on walking until you get to a wall or something, you got to stop. Just hold on, don't start up yet. Back up, back up. I didn't say to start. You're going to do Simon Says here as well as follow the leader, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start following the red arrow. Back up, hold up. Follow the red arrow, okay? Just follow it. Keep on following the red. Go right up the red one. That way, okay. You gotta follow him. Which way is it pointing? Okay, follow it. Go whatever it's pointing, you go. Okay, you can stop. They went straight and we went around in circles. What's up with that? You followed the red one, right? See this? Is this pointing the right way? Which way is it pointing? So we should have gone that way, right? But I don't know, somehow it just started to go around and show other ways. I got a magnet in my hand, and it made the compass point a different way. Now there are we want to follow God, right? But there's other things in this world that are going to make us try to follow other ways, and we have to be aware of that. We have to be cautious of that. There's people and other things that God is not working through, that the enemy is working through, and they're going to try to mislead us. So just like I make this compass go around, and this is how an electric motor works too, actually. We can make a magnet spin because the compass is a little magnet. We have to make sure that we're following God all the time, okay? So make sure you follow God in all your ways and all you do, and don't be misled by other things. All right, and the line leader has an important job too. Because if he or she starts going astray, other people are following them. And that is a very, very serious responsibility that we all have because we're all line leaders in a way. We influence the lives of others. And we do not want to lead anybody astray. That would be very serious. There's a millstone reserved for them is what it says in Scripture. So let us be faithful in following God. Okay, if you all want to head out for children's church, you can feel free at this time. I'll take the compass back there. Thank you. And Beth is going to lead you in the right way. Beth is going to lead you in the right way. There you go. She's got a good moral compass. And Maya's going to help too. Okay. You can get that later. Thanks for helping out. Indeed, we all do have a responsibility to lead people in the right way. If you're the leader of a family, if you've got friends that you're leading, you know, we all lead others. And let us lead them to Christ, right? That's what we're supposed to do, right? To lead others to Christ. All right, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather this morning in your presence to worship you. It's all about you, Lord. You're the reason that we're here. May we be worshiping in spirit and truth, and we just await for you to speak to us through your word, Lord, and to lead us closer to you in that right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. That last song, Do Not Be Afraid, I Am With You. What reassurance, huh? That he is with us. And we should not fear. We have nothing to fear if he's with us. I mean, you know, the enemy is sort of like a bully, sort of taunting us. You know, bullies work with fear, don't they? They threaten. Watch little kids in the playground, the hallways. They are threatened by the bullies. But if that threatened kid has a bigger friend, that bully's taunts and threats are useless, right? Do we have a bigger friend? Amen. Yeah, okay. If we got God is for us, who can stand against us, right? If we got him with us and him for us. But yet people do react to fear, and that's what bullies deal in. They deal in fear. They get someone to fear someone else. I've seen it, you know, teaching for decades, and those of you who have been around kids a lot, you've seen the bullying too, and it's really unfortunate. It can have lifelong implications and results. But even as we're older, too many people are reacting to fear. The fears shift. It's not a bully anymore. Maybe it's a fear of finances, of losing everything you have. Maybe it's a fear of your health or something like that. There's all kinds of other fears, and our enemy, of course, is out there just sort of poking those fears, putting them in front of us, and trying to influence us with those. So fear, anxiety, and worry, those three are very closely intertwined. Fear, anxiety, and worry. And the enemy does that. Is our God a God of fear? No. We are to fear the Lord our God, but that's to respect and honor him, right? The anxiety, the stress, and the worry, the enemy can use that. I mean, in the big picture, do we have anything to worry about? Does God meet our needs? Everybody's sitting here. Everybody had breakfast. Yeah, you got your... I mean, maybe you chose not to have breakfast. Maybe you're fasting right now. That's cool if you are. That's great if you're fasting, hearing from God. But yeah, we all had our needs met this morning. And yesterday morning too, didn't we? How about the day before? Were our needs met? We had a place to sleep, something to eat, roof over our heads. Yeah. In the big picture, our needs are met by our God. Were all your wants met? No, not everything we want, but everything we need. And he knows the difference. He will provide what we need. But the enemy is going to stir doubt. That's what he does. He stirs up doubt. He makes us question. Did he really say that if you eat of that fruit? Again, planting a doubt and a question. And he's going to plant fears and worry and anxiety. Again, your needs have been met. For me, 61 years of my needs being met. God's faithful. Why should I worry? Good question. We still do fear. We still do worry, okay? But where is our focus then? Is our focus on God or is it on the problems? That's a good question. And those worries and those fears and things like that, it's like a shadow. Can a little thing cast a big shadow? Can it look big? Yeah, absolutely. Can the shadow actually hurt you? No. The shadow is actually blocking light. Think about that. God is light. Huh? If God's light is being blocked partially, there's worry, stress, and anxiety. All right? So we need to stay in that light. And we don't want to fuel that. Because something like worry and stress is something the enemy can just plant a little seed and go on about doing other mischief while we feed it, we water it, we fuel it. Okay, we need to stop that pattern. We need to break that. Remember that God is bigger and he's on our side. Now, fear is also weaponized through other means. Is fear weaponized in politics? Yeah, they make you fear something. The media make you fear things at times? Absolutely. It's an old tool that goes way back and it's very effective. People react to fear even when they don't have to. They're going to weaponize things. They're going to take like a disease or a pandemic and cause great fear. Now, some people did die during the pandemic. I will acknowledge that. But a lot of them are just acting in fear. And then other things, too. They're going to take some little thing and they're going to make it big and make people fear it. They're going to weaponize it. Alrighty. So let us not worry over the little things. In the big picture, we've got it good. As we were studying this text Tuesday morning, started thinking that, you know, we worry about things, but have I ever had a famine come through here where I can't feed my kids? How helpless and powerless would you feel if you can't feed your kids? There's people around the world dealing with that right now. Watching a kid maybe even die in their arms. As a dad, I want to protect and provide. I think that resonates with every male here. Protect and provide. Provide for our families. And if you're in a country where there's a famine, there's absolutely no food, you'd feel totally helpless. We don't have that big of fears here, do we? or a war comes through, and some enemy comes through and takes your land and all your possessions, and you're left with nothing. We're blessed. That is happening places right now, not here. We are truly blessed. So our worries over little things, they're nothing compared to what some people are facing. You know, they say it could always be worse, and yes, it always could be worse. And let us try to be there for the people that are starving and those that are losing everything. It's not fair and it's not right. So we have it good. But we still have fears. And when we do have fears, what can we do? How can we fight back against that? Because that's the other thing. I want to provide, but I also want to protect. I want to fight back. Well, we can turn to God. Of course, we can turn to God. We can bring it to the Lord in prayer. Absolutely. He is there listening and just waiting to help. There's something special about prayer. When we bring it to Him, He tells us to pray. He asks us to pray. He taught us to pray. He wants us to bring our fears, our concerns, and our worries to Him. And He can relieve us from that. And also His Word, a great place. Psalm 27, which we didn't read today, but I'm going to read the first three verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. Alrighty, I've never been to war. I was a peacetime veteran. But this weekend we paused to honor the memory of those who did, who answered that call, who gave it all. Not all of them are Christians, I'm sure. Probably did not end well for some of them. But for those who are were Christians, and for those that are today, ultimately, do we have to worry about the things of this world? No. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Is there something better that awaits us? Yeah, better than anything we can imagine here. So our fears, our stresses, our worries, and our anxieties, they're just fleeting. They're temporary. This world is temporary. Heaven is eternal. Our future with God is eternal. This pales in comparison. This is as nothing. So don't worry. Don't stress. Do not be afraid. Another verse I like that deals with fear, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. No fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Well, what's perfect love? God. God drives out fear. I mean, you're worried about something. Turn to these verses. Put things back in perspective. Don't concentrate on that big shadow of fear. Just know that your God is bigger, that you have nothing to worry about. Yet we do. But God's word addresses this further. In Isaiah, we had heard today, "You, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." Now, that's for the Jews, but we've been grafted in. We covered that last Sunday, all right? We are a part of that now, thank God. He says, "I have chosen you." Wow. To be chosen. That's to be held in high regard, isn't it? He's chosen us. That's humbling. He thinks that much of us. "I have chosen you and have not rejected you." You've not been rejected by God. He chooses you. He wants to choose everybody, right? "It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This offer is open to everybody in the world. He wants everybody in the world and throughout time and history and in the future to come to him. He's reserved a place for everybody. He tells us that in John. "I have chosen you and not rejected, so do not fear, for I am with you." You getting the idea that we shouldn't let these fears control us? That we shouldn't give in to fear? Because greater is he living inside of me than he who is living in the world, right? Our God is bigger, our God is greater. There's no limits in what he can do. Sometimes we try to impose limits on God, thinking, "Oh, he can't do that for me." Yes, he can, no matter what. He can and he wants to, and he will. If we'll just humble ourselves before him, if we'll come to him, if we'll ask him. Absolutely. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Amen. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, that picture of when you're a little kid, grabbing onto your parents' hand. There's security in that, right? Oh, so it's just security. And now that maybe we're a little bit older, we can take the hand of our kid or our grandkid or something like that, and we get to be that hand. And just feeling that little hand in yours, doesn't that just bring some warmth and joy to your heart? You suppose God's the same way when we lift up our hand to Him and are willing to follow Him, that it brings Him joy as well? I have to believe so. I have to believe so. Because that's showing trust, isn't it? That little child is showing trust. They're willing to take you by the hand, and they're willing to follow you where you lead them. They're trusting you to lead them in the right paths. And may we always do so. Let us not our compass be distorted like we saw there. I mean, that's not good. Okay. I will strengthen you and help you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, that's a promise from God, too. Human promises, we've all been hurt by human promises. But God's promises, they're good forever. He does not change, right? He's not in the shifting shadows. He does not change. It continues later on, for I am the Lord your God. Those two words, I am, once again, too. The great I am. Yes, Lord. That's what he calls himself, I am. Because he is. He is present. He said, I am with you. I am the great I am. Love it. I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. He's going to squeeze back, right? And says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Again, a promise. If he says he will do something, yep, he will. There's no doubt about it. So what do we have to fear? When you look at the big picture, absolutely nothing, I guess. But we're still surrounded by things. Things that we are afraid of. And Paul in Romans 8 today was addressing that. Romans 8 is about life in the Spirit. It's a great chapter to read. Highly recommend it. It starts out with that famous verse, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we are secure with him, you're not condemned. And it ends then with these passages here. The reassurance, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Now, the worst someone can do is take your life, but that's just leading to something better if you're a believer. And he who did not spare his own son, he's willing to give everything for us, but gave him up for us all. Well, we're still sinners, right? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Again, our needs, not always our wants. Jesus is crucified on our behalf. He got what we deserve. Our God is that kind of God. He's that loving. They took it on himself. He's that giving. And is also interceding for us, as it says in this passage as well. So then, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger or sword? No. Whatever comes against us. If we're in him, we are secure, and we should not have to worry. But yet we think that things are going to take us away from God that are more powerful than him? No, of course nothing is. So why do we worry, huh? But there's things around us, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present or the future, or any powers, all these things, or half of them, could try to separate us from God, right? The angels are for us, right? The demons against us. Alrighty, death nor life, all these threats. But nothing can separate us. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's just looking at, is there anything that can separate us from God? I suppose we could. We could choose to stray. God gives us free will. But he is faithful and will always be there, willing to welcome us back. And nothing, no external thing can separate us from the love of God. His love is for us. And he loves us, and nothing can stop that. Neither height nor depth or anything can stop that love of him for us. Again, that reassurance. And again, if he is for us, what should we fear? The answer, of course, is nothing. Nothing. I got that in big capital letters here. Nothing. No thing. Alrighty? So nothing can separate us from the love of God. His love, not ours. Our love is not always that dependable, is it? Honestly, but his love, again, is steadfast. He does not change. And if he is for us, nothing can stand against us. So we are told not to fear in numerous places here. Lastly, in the gospel today, we again heard, do not fear. So why do we give in to fear? It's a human thing, isn't it? Why do we worry? Why do we stress over little things? We shouldn't. But yet we do. Again, that enemy just sort of pushing and prodding and poking where he can, trying to separate us, trying to instill this fear, hitting us with these shadows from these little insignificant things that appear so big. But they're not, because nothing can stand against God. Alrighty? The gospel today. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. He will abide in us. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You got your own personal portable Jesus right there. He's going to guide you through this life. He's going to be that compass that's going to lead us on the right path in accordance and alignment with God's will, the way we should be going, right? But as Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm leaving here. Okay, my time is about up. All this I have spoken while still with you, but that Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Again, he's going to live within us, going to dwell within us, going to show us right from wrong, show us God's will. But as I leave, he says, peace I leave with you. Peace and fear are sort of opposites, aren't they? If you're responding to fear, you don't have peace inside you. But when you have peace, when you have God's peace, those fears are going to bounce off. They're not going to be able to take hold. I mean, they're going to try to sink their claws in. They're going to slide right off. Okay. You're going to be shielded. You're going to be protected by God's peace and his spirit within you, right? My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. It's a special kind of peace once again. It's not the absence of conflict. This is God's peace. Maybe you've spent some beautiful sunsets just watching it over the water or something like that. Maybe even a fishing pole in your hand, just feeling an incredible peace. I love that. You're out in the woods, maybe in your bow stand or something like that, again, feeling an incredible peace. And that's really cool. It's an all-encompassing peace, but God's peace is so much bigger and so much better. And it's just incredible. So his peace he gives to us. He gives it. He doesn't sell it to us. There's no charge. We don't have to earn it. He freely gives us of his peace and of his love and of himself. He does not give you as the world gives, not expecting anything back. Do not let your hearts be troubled, right? Do not fear. Don't give in to stress or anxiety. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Here we have Jesus himself telling us, do not be afraid. If Jesus himself is saying it, I think we ought to listen. Lord, we thank you that you meet our needs, that we do not have to fear because you are with us. We thank you that you love us so much that you are willing to give of yourself, the death on the cross, Lord, to cover our sin, to make a way that we could come to you. Lord, help us to live in your peace, to live in your light, not to give in to fear, anxiety, or worry. These little things of this little life that we have here, this short life that we have here. Help us to see the big picture, Lord. Help us to see you and to follow you, that these attacks of the enemy with things such as fear, stress, anxiety, and worry would just bounce off, that they would have no effect because we know our future is secure in you. Amen.